Philadelphia is a city on second base, wondering if it will ever make it all the way home. Hey, WHYY listeners, save the emails. I didn't write that. R.W. Apple did. Mr. Apple is the esteemed New York Times correspondent and editor and prodigious eater traveler. For years, he has also been writing travel pieces for his paper, and now they are collected with changes, expansions, revisions into the paperback book Apple's America, The Discriminating Traveler's Guide to 40 Great Cities in the United States and Canada. R.W. Apple joins us from WBUR Boston, a nice eating city. Thanks for being with us.
Great pleasure.
Sir, we have so many questions, so little time. What does the RW stand for?
Oh, you ask me the deepest secrets of my soul. Raymond Walter.
Raymond Walter. But they call you Johnny.
I come from Ohio. Johnny Appleseed,
yeah.
That is to say John Chapman, is buried 17 miles from where I grew up.
Oh, thank you so much for that explanation. Now let's get down to it. What kind of reaction did you get from Toronto after you wrote that it was so, quote, pious and proper that a man had trouble buying an aspirin on Sunday?
Well, had that appeared ungarnished, I probably would have had a horrifying reaction. But that was a description of how Toronto used to be, and I go on to say how incredibly it has evolved. That, in fact, is a true anecdote of my first visit to Canada at age 8 with my parents, and my mother got a headache on Sunday morning, and my father was told she'd have to wait until Monday for an aspirin.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the list of cities includes Boston, Baltimore, Buffalo. You say, like a dowager in decline, Buffalo still has good bones to remind people of her more prosperous and glamorous days. Also on the list, St. Louis, Hampton Roads, Virginia. Of course, Los Angeles, San Francisco. It's a very nice list, Mr. Apple.
Well, thank you. Buffalo was where essentially the Great Lakes joined the East in commercial terms, because they brought the produce of the Middle West, of the Plain States in particular, to the head of first the Erie Canal and then the New York Central Railroad. It was a very rich city. Frank Lloyd Wright built more houses there than anywhere except Chicago. Olmsted laid out the parks before he laid out Central Park. And it has declined indeed. And now all we hear about is Tim Russert and snow.
Right. As you just have demonstrated, you tell the history of every city that you write about. You tell the best places to visit, the museums to see, the eats, the hotels. Describe how you work. How long do you stay in any one place?
I've been traveling this country and abroad for very nearly 50 years, and I am a keeper of files and notebooks. So that was the first layer. To that I added reading sometimes first time and rereading of memoirs, diaries of people, from Simone de Beauvoir, who traveled through the American South in the 40s, to John Gunther, to John Steinbeck, to Bill Bryson, and others. Then, of course, I did what all journalists do. I called up friends who were from there or who had an identification with the place I was going and asked them, who's interesting? Who do you know? Uh-huh. Whom should I see? What should I do? And having done all of that, then I went to the place and bounced around. Some places I only had to go to for 2 days, 3 days, because I knew them well and I just needed to update myself. Some I had to go to for 2 weeks and more.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't consult travel books about the particular city?
I used Zagat to some degree.
Uh-huh.
I used, occasionally Fodor. But to be perfectly honest, one of the reasons that I had the idea of doing this is that I've never been very satisfied with most travel guides in this country. Oh, and just as I was working on it, Michelin began bringing out green guides in the United States.
Hmm.
And they have a lot of the history that one needs, the context, if you will. But most American travel guides don't have much of that, and that's one of the things that I care about the most, because I think that helps you to understand why the city's ethnic composition is what it is, why its politics is what it is,
mm-hmm.
and so forth and so
mm-hmm.
on.
I was so happy to see that you write about some of the best-kept secrets in our great American cities. For example, the Cleveland Museum of Art.
Cleveland's arts scene, in general, is a well-kept secret, except for people who are specialists in the fields. Many people consider the Cleveland Orchestra one of the two, maybe three best in the country. The Cleveland Museum of Art, as you say, is an absolute gem. Why can this be when Cleveland has fallen on hard times these last decades? The reason is one word, Rockefeller. The Standard Oil Company started in Cleveland, and John D. Rockefeller's business partners, people like Flagler and Harkness, gave tons of money to these institutions, and they've been bouncing along ever since. Cleveland, most people wouldn't know, was the sixth largest city in the country in 1950, full of steel mills and other profitable industrial enterprises. And the museum, the orchestra, to a degree, the Playhouse, which is a very innovative regional theater, have profited from the money generated by those.
When our son was at a small college in Ohio, we just would find our way into Cleveland, go to that museum, and I couldn't believe the Rembrandts. I thought, why don't we know about things like this?
Well, one of the themes of the book, not really explicitly stated again and again, because this is not supposed to be a pedagogic book, is how much American culture has diffused in the last couple of decades. I mean, there are good orchestras in places like Houston and Los Angeles, which were never thought of as big classical music towns. There are wonderful museums in Texas, in Seattle, in San Francisco, in Detroit. There is quite a lot in quite a number of places which most of us, especially those of us who grew up or who spend our lives mainly on the East Coast, don't know about.
Absolutely. R.W. Appel, often you quote city songs, and I think lots of us have our first encounter with a city through a song that's been written about it, like Meet Me in St. Louis. So could you do one of those songs for us, please, because I suspect that you too enjoy them.
Well, there's a song about Dallas by Frank Lesser, which starts, I'm from Big D, my OS, that's Big D, double L, Big
no.
D.
Little A, double L, A, yes.
Yes, and that spells Dallas, my darling, darling Dallas. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-da-da-da, and so forth.
Oh, a man who can sing and eat and travel. What more could anyone want? Thank you very, very much, Raymond.
You're not going to say and write?
Oh, and write, you betcha. Raymond Walter Appel, Jr. is associate editor of the New York Times. Appel's America is his guide to, quote, 40 great cities in the United States and Canada. I bet you're hearing every place you go, people are telling you all the important places you forgot.
Indeed. And you may notice that New York is not one of the 40, largely because I couldn't imagine putting New York in a chapter. Maybe I'll have to write a book about it.
Guess so. Good luck with it, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Susan.